Welcome, everybody, to This Week in Wrestling. I'm your host, Dan Hummer, here with Eric, Doug, and Clint. How's everyone doing tonight?
How are you guys? Good. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Pretty good. Yeah, sorry we're late. We had very important business to tend to. Dinner.
No problem.
We got a couple big stories and several little ones to get to tonight. But first, you want to get the plugs out of the way, Doug? Talk about next week.
Sure, why not? Make sure you listen to Anthony, Boxman, and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They also have a Saturday night show every other Saturday called the Hollywood Hangout. And plus, they usually do special episodes for pay-per-views or pay-per-view reviews or live watch-alongs, you know, stuff like that. Usually depending on whatever time Boxman wants to go to bed because he's old. I mean, he'll even say the same thing. But also listen to us on Friday nights for the regular unscripted wrestling show. This past Friday night, we did our fantasy warfare, or unscripted fantasy warfare, I think is what we're calling it. Are we going to get into a little bit today?
If you want to. It's been kind of a slow week.
I mean, if we have time, yeah. We can. Do I have that book down here? I might. All right. And this Friday, we got a poll going on for this Friday's episode. It's your poll options are AEW Year in Review, a career retrospective on Zach Gowen, a Bragging Rights 2009 pay-per-view retrospective, and a retrospective on the man with the hands of stone, Rugged Ronnie Garvin. So that'll be around 8 o'clock Eastern time this upcoming Friday night here on Blog Talk Radio. We can be found on all podcast platforms. And then, of course, listen to our Sunday show this week in wrestling, usually around 5 o'clock Eastern time on here on blogtalkradio.com. We can be found on all podcast platforms. I almost said that we could be found on Mixler.
Talk Mixler. All right, so getting started with it this week. What do you think's the biggest story? Probably something that maybe someone predicted a while ago, you know? A lot of people, we get on the show, we predict certain things. Some people say some people are wrong about certain things.
You tell me I'm wrong.
Like if someone said the Revival was going to AEW and they get laughed at, get into it, Doug.
What my beloved baby brother is trying to say is that he predicted several months ago when the revival were granted their releases, he said they were going to go to AEW, and I said no because nobody would be foolish enough to hire anybody during this pandemic. Well, usually, as per usual, I was wrong.
I have to say this, though. They did hire Matt Hardy, showed up during this pandemic, too, once his contract was released. So
that's true.
I've
done it multiple times.
I've realized. Whose side are you on?
I'm just saying that it's just out there. I mean, Matt Hardy was released, and he showed up 1 week later. A month goes by, and here comes Revival.
Even Lance Archer, I mean, he was there the last time they had a crowd, but that's still around, team.
Okay, so, again, all right, so I was wrong. The Revival, or what they're being called now, is FTR. They're part of AEW. I'm actually happy that they're there, because there's a few matches that I would actually like to see them participate in.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's got to happen, them and the Young Bucks. You know, I know maybe all of us might not be huge Young Bucks fans, but that match writes itself.
Oh, I'd love to see Master of the Mutton Chops, Matt Jackson, take the Shatter Machine.
Yeah, So that would be a great match. I think they would – I'd like to see them and Kenny Omega and Adam Page.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see them. I'd love to see them, to be honest with you, take on the
MCU.
Lucha Brothers – or the Lucha Brothers.
Yeah.
As soon as – well, Pentagon comes back.
SCU.
SCU would be great. I think them and the Best Friends would be good.
Good term,
even
Ray.
Them against Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian.
And this was going to bring me to a question I was going to ask you guys. And if AEW review, the year review wins this poll topic, we'll talk about it Friday too. Do you think that AEW's got the best tag team division right now, or do you think that it's too bloated? Or both?
I think they had to. I will say they had one of the best tag teams out there right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they do, because I think if you look at other tag team divisions, like NXT's tag team division had been completely depleted.
Yeah.
Okay. They really don't have a tag team division. They have. They're bringing in the teams from NXT UK, and that's if they could get them across the fucking across the pond.
WWE's tag team division's okay though, like SmackDown.
SmackDown's got a really good tag team division. I like SmackDown's tag team division, so I'm not gonna knock them. I'm not necessarily gonna knock Raw either, because
Go ahead, Doug. Sorry.
I'm not going to say anything bad about Raw's tag team either, because Street Profits and I like the Viking Raiders, but I think you need more teams than that.
Exactly.
But I think right now it's a toss-up AEW's tag team division and SmackDown's tag team division. Because even though there's only like four or five teams on SmackDown, you still get really good matches in between all four or five of those teams.
Yep.
I mean, even you can even look at the Lucha House Party and realize that they've come a long way. I mean, Kalisto was basically supposed to be the star. He's been hurt, and Grand Metalik has improved vastly over the last 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Miz and Morrison are really good. The New Day and the Usos are legendary. Already.
Yep.
Yeah, and you can't forget these Forgotten Sons either.
Yeah, they're the wild card. Yeah. But AEW, I mean, come on, the Young Bucks, now the Revival. Yeah, Omega and Page are kind of thrown together, and they're a great team, you know? And even, like, the Butcher and the Blade, the underrated teams that are still pretty good.
Yeah, and Private Party. So the Revival's stepping into... They were a big, they were like a really big, they were a big fish in a tiny pond.
Yeah.
Now they are, you know, a really tiny fish in like a really large pond. Or I may have gotten that backwards. I don't know, but.
Eric, I want to ask you, do you think that they could do well here? Better.
I think they can do well here. And they feud with, I mean, they're going to feud with the Young Bucks, it looks like. And I think they're the ones who should go over. I think they're the ones who should go in and meet the Bucks and then claim that they're the best tag team. I think they're going to go and try to go through all the tag teams and claim they won a title shot. Not right away. Maybe in September,
I mean,
All Out. I mean, All In, whatever,
yeah.
Whatever it is.
Right, right. And I think there's a lot of matches you can get out of them, but the money match has to be them and the Young Bucks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, right away, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of matches you can get out of them. Like, there's like 10 or 12 teams that you can put them against. I mean, we even forgot to mention fucking Private Party, the Jurassic Express.
Yeah, you said Private Party.
Did I?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I did not forget.
Inner Circle.
Jurassic Express. Fucking Santana and Ortiz.
Yeah, yep. They're a big team.
I would actually like to see, because Ortiz takes those weird ass fucking, like, he takes like the seizure bumps.
Yeah.
Like when he gets hit with something, he'll stand up and he'll just like he'll act like Ric Flair for a second.
Yeah.
And then take that front face bump. I'd like to see how he takes the Shatter Machine.
Yeah.
Maybe they could shatter that stupid afro.
AEW is big on factions, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they could end up in a faction
yeah.
with anybody? And if so, who?
It depends on if they're going to be babyface or heel.
They got to be heel.
I don't know if
yeah,
they're going to start out
heel.
Right away. I don't think they're going to start out heel right away. I mean, they beat up Butcher and Blade.
Yeah.
I mean, if they start out as heel, if they go heel, I could see MJF kind of.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Them two, MJF, and then maybe one more person. There's a Four Horsemen type group.
Well, it would have to be Wardlow.
He doesn't really count.
Or if Jake Roberts wants to manage them, you know, along with Lance.
Yeah. There's a lot.
Or
of
maybe Taz, the team with Brian Cage.
That's
yeah.
that's another good point.
Yeah, that could work.
That's a really good point. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
So,
or
yeah,
Kelly.
That was a big deal. What was up?
Or Kelly can manage them. What better guy than Kelly?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, Tully would be, like, the obvious choice because they mimic, or not mimic, but they can all kind of pay tribute to Tully and Arn.
Yeah, but then you got to put Sean Spears in the group. And I think the
yeah.
ship has kind of sank on him.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
he's
a jobber.
He hasn't really done much.
Yeah.
You're really not going to get over with Tully Blanchard underwear. Tessa, maybe. But...
So, in other news, your buddy Jim Cornette had a lot to say about the Stadium Stampede match. I don't know if you came across that.
I did. I watched the video for like 3 minutes.
So, in short, he said it was – I was going to read it, but instead I'll just give a couple quotes. He just said he was – ashamed of Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone and all them for being involved in this bullshit. It's the worst fucking thing he's ever seen. He wants to apologize to Vince Russo for saying that's the worst wrestling he's ever seen because this tops it. And he basically said, fuck everybody involved in this, and he doesn't want to see them again. So, what's your reaction to those comments, Clement?
Well, number one, it shows you that Jim Cornette is just a selfish, doesn't know good talent. I mean, this is not like the 80s and whatnot, but it's not the early 90s anymore. It's like we have bigger things. Arenas, now we look at WrestleMania. WrestleMania is now held. It used to be our average, only held in football stadiums now. I mean, everything evolves. Everything can't be the same whatsoever. And yeah, I look at the stadium campaign, it's like it was an abnormal but like great match. Empty football stadium and you're just beating on a wrestling ring at the 50-yard line and you're beating the mess out throughout the whole, it's not like the whole football field. They went and did the concession stand and everything. I enjoyed the match. Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, Jim Cornette, I knew he wouldn't like this as soon as I saw it because he doesn't like entertainment. He likes old school shooting type wrestling.
Yeah, and did you see Jericho's rebuttal to him?
Yeah, talk about it.
Yeah, Jericho then, he got mad and he said he's hurt by the fact that Cornette doesn't like it because he brought up, he goes, this is the same guy that doesn't like this is the same guy that had me put his face in a cake 25 years ago. So, putting your face in cake is entertaining, is entertainment, but not this kind of match. He goes, if you don't like this match, you don't have a soul. Those were Jericho's words. Here's the thing. Cornette always has to have something to bitch about. Okay? As do I, some most of the time. Sometimes Jim Cornette and myself, actually, never mind. I was going to make a comparison, but I'm not going to do it. I'm taking the high road. But the thing with Cornette is he always has to have something to bitch about. And it's like, it's getting old. Okay. But you got to think, though, too, there's probably a lot of old promoters out there a lot of the old promoters from the old days are no longer with us, except for Bill Watson. I think the only one that's still alive. Or Bill Watson, Ole Anderson. But you got to think, a lot of the old school promoters, if they would have seen that, they probably would not have liked it. Because a lot of them, the reason why a lot of them did not succeed, the reason why Vince McMahon bought out a lot of those fuckers is because they were too behind the times.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
And Jim Cornette is another one that's behind the times. Vince McMahon, you know, we say he's behind the times a lot, but that's not Vince's fault. Because Vince, back in the Attitude Era, and, like, you know, early on in the 2000s, Vince was a genius. Vince didn't stop being a genius till about, like, 5 years ago. Because that's when he turned 70. See, when you get to be older, you kind of... When you get to be older, you kind of lose your innovation. When you're in that line of work.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you kind of fall behind the times because you're always reminiscent of, like, oh, I remember, you know, back in my day when this was over. You know, this would not have flown back in my day. Well, it flies now. People enjoyed the Stadium Stampede match.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I think Tony Schiavone was a little too enthralled with the white line on Jericho's crotch. But you know, that's Tony's choice. So yeah.
I think it was really good, but the thing about I like the athleticism from pro wrestling. I like the technique and the moves, but I could also enjoy stuff like this, just like I could enjoy the Boneyard match. I think his finger's not really on the pulse of what's good anymore. And, you know, you need stuff like this to kind of give a break between all the good wrestling. And there's no crowd, so they got to be able to implement that stuff. But one of the main things he said that I wanted to touch on and ask you guys about was, he said that it was all the worst aspects of the Money in the Bank match without the WWE talent, production, and spectacle. Doug, which match is better, the Money in the Bank match or the Stadium Stampede match?
Look, I enjoy both, but I actually liked this match better because there was, I think everybody in this match, you know, you really got to showcase a lot of people. What are you, riding a bike? But, you know, we got to see more showcased out of these 10 guys than we really did out of the 12 people involved in the Money in the Bank match. And I think both matches were good. I just liked the Stadium Stampede a little better.
I did too.
So, but yeah, I mean, people are going to like what they're going to like, and they're going to not like what they're not going to like. I mean, you can't necessarily tell somebody, you know, you should really like this or you don't have a soul. If they don't like it, fuck them. Who gives a rat's ass what Jim Cornette likes? Jim Cornette is not the one that's going to decide if the company's going to thrive or fail. Okay? Just like this other asshole that, you know, that stooged out AEW for the Moxley Omega match at Full Gear, this Chris Cruz, because he wants AEW to fail because he's got some beef with Dusty Rhodes, and he can't take it out on Dusty anymore, so he's got to take it out on the kids. Who gives a fuck if these guys like? Who gives a fuck if these guys like the product or not? You're not that. Appease the over half million or quarter million viewers that you have every week. Don't give a fuck about some old asshole that's stuck behind the times. If he doesn't like something, who gives a rat's ass? He's not your main investor. Tony Khan is.
Exactly.
So, and don't get me wrong, I love Jim Cornette. But sometimes I think if they gave him a Native American name, it would be Wind Like Woman.
What's some other big news this week, Doug?
All right, here's another piece of business I wanted to get into. Obviously, you know, I didn't get a chance to watch the third part of the Undertaker documentary last week, which I will get a chance to, but they're taking a break for a couple of weeks on it. They got a big premiere tonight. They found lost footage of WCW, and they're airing a special tonight called Sting, the Lost Tape, and it follows him the day of his match at Slamboree 95 against Big Bubba Rogers. WCW never did shit like this back in the day.
Yeah.
So this to me is interesting.
It's kind of stupid.
Well, it's like one of those day of documentaries or one of those Chronicle deals that WWE does.
Yeah, but was it a main event?
No, but it was a feud that was going to culminate after like 4 months. Sting was looking for revenge because Big Bubba cost him a match against Avalanche at a Clash of Champions. And then he pinned him a couple months later at Uncensored, which was like the upset of the century or something. So this was Sting. It was a lights out, no disqualification match. And Sting was looking to get revenge. And Bubba, or Boss Man, as many people call him, was still technically, I mean, he was just starting, or he was like one of the like upper mid-card heels at the time. So it was a big deal because Bubba was still technically over, kind of. So to me, this is one of those deals to where it's just interesting to me because it's like the same thing WWE does. WCW never did shit like this. So I'm interested in watching it.
It should be interesting. I'll watch
it. So.
What do you think, Cole?
Oh.
You want to...
Huh?
I was gonna ask you. You gonna watch it too?
I saw partially because it's on demand right now. Premiere day is on demand. I might watch it. That's on my to-do list. Usually Sundays is my catch-up and wrestling days anyway. So I might check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'll definitely watch it later. Another thing, has anybody watched the Fight Pit match from NXT?
No.
I saw, like, the highlights of it.
I know, I kind of, I was flipping back and forth the other day. So, but then I got to watch the highlights of it. From what I saw of it, that was actually. You guys remember the old Lions Den matches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it.
This was 10 times better. And the Lions Den matches were actually pretty good, though.
Yeah.
There was a spot where Timothy Thatcher, like, actually, I don't know if he actually did. I don't know if they were fake teeth or whatever, but Riddle actually kicked. It looked like he kicked teeth right out of Riddle, out of Thatcher's mouth.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think these were the. This is Matt Riddle at his best.
Right, and it's his last match on NXT. He's going to go to SmackDown now.
How do you think he's going to do?
It depends on how they want to use him.
I mean, I think he's going to – look, I think Matt Riddle is an idiot, okay? I think he's a boob.
He's a funny boob.
Yeah, but you cannot argue – with how good he is in the ring. I would not want to test him. All right. But you're right, though. He is funny. Like, even when he kept a promo on Thatcher to set up the match for the thing, he was like, I don't think you're a bro. I think you're a boob. And it's like, it's like, what the fuck? Are we in kindergarten? But no.
Who would you book him against on SmackDown starting out?
Ziggler.
Styles.
No, not Styles, because you want Riddle to go over right away. You book him against Dolph Ziggler because you know Dolph will give him a good match. Dolph will sell for him. Because they're really
good
not
point.
Doing much with Dolph anyway.
It's kind of in the Otis thing, but that's kind of over.
I mean, well. He's being managed by a woman that likes other women. All right. I mean, like, he's basically, he's on the, I don't want to use the terms here because I don't want to, I am trying to be politically correct. What the hell was that for? But, like, I mean, he's kind of in the Otis, quit scratching my balls. he's kind of in the Otis storyline, but no, I'd put him against Riddle or Riddle against Ziggler right away. I mean, the other person I would think of putting him against Robert Roode, but he's stuck in Canada.
Sheamus could be a good one too.
Right now, Sheamus is in this thing with Jeff Hardy.
Which leads me to our next one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy. How do we feel about them, Scott Hall and Jeff Hardy, making use of his outside problems for content? Eric.
I don't like it. I think it's stupid. It makes doesn't make good TV because we look at these wrestlers in a different light when they're in the ring and they're doing storylines. We know what his outside life is. Everybody knows that. We don't want to see in the storyline. It's personal.
I mean, we do have to bring up that he technically was absolved of the charges, and he showed up at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they still used it.
All right. Basically, the end of the storyline basically is going to be this. Sheamus knocked out Jeff Hardy or drugged him or whatever, stole the keys to the car, and then basically used Elias as a crash test dummy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was hit and run.
Yeah. Elias became roadkill, unfortunately. And it's basically, I mean, Sheamus is the one that did it. We could already, I mean, to be honest with you, at first when I first saw it, because I had no idea what was going on, because one, we had the TV on mute. And two, we were trying to pay attention to what we were doing because we also happened to be having a show that night as well.
Is that why Daniel was yelling at you?
That time, yeah. But at first, I thought Corbin had said, because when I saw Elias laying on the ground, because, you know, Baron Corbin, we know how good of a loser he is. I figured he did something because he's a dick. I had no idea it had anything to do with Hardy. So, I mean, I was shocked. I think, here's the thing. I guess I get why they're doing it. I don't like the fact that they did it because they're capitalizing on somebody's problems.
Yeah, but
yep.
Why was it okay? Because they did this with CM Punk and him, too, during their feud back in the 2009, I believe.
Yeah.
And it was an immensely popular storyline. What's the difference here?
Jeff didn't actually drink or anything. Jeff didn't actually drink or – they didn't make – like, all Punk did was bring up stuff that Jeff was involved in. They didn't actually stage it to look like he tried to, you know, fucking run somebody down.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the difference here. That's the difference.
Interesting.
So,
what are your thoughts, man?
See, here I look at it like this. It's like I'm really like getting tired of just watching it. And it's just all played out like. So about it's recycled material. Let's put it that way. We've seen it done before, and it's just like you're just reusing old ideas into a new story because you have nothing else better to do. That's what it is.
Yeah. It's crap. They don't have anything else to do. Then they just put something together that was old.
Right. I mean.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
That's the thing I wanted to bring up because a lot of people are defending this by saying, you know, oh, WCW did it to Scott Hall. People didn't like it then. It wasn't well received then. It didn't work then. It wasn't that over.
And it did nothing for Scott Hall except for put him back in the wagon.
And all it did was ruin what could have been a good feud with him and Nash.
Yeah.
Because he was already having issues to begin with. And then they do then, he ends up falling off the fucking wagon again. So then now it just fucked more.
Yeah. Well, say something, Hangman Page. But I think there's a difference between Hangman Page drinking a beer and kicking ass. His is more of a badass level thing than it is an alcoholism thing.
He's not a D. He doesn't.
He takes Stone Cold when Stone Cold drinks.
Exactly. Page is more of a Stone Cold Steve Austin character.
Yeah, exactly. That's why a lot of people like him, because he's a badass and drinks beer. He's an average guy that you can hang out and drink beer with.
So, all right, anybody have anything else as far as news goes?
Well, all right, I have a question for you. How do you feel about...
Wait a minute, you have something?
Yes, I have something.
Okay.
I want to know, how do you feel about the whole WWE copying what AEW is doing, using their NXT superstars as crowd audience, the same way AEW is?
Well, they need some kind of crowd noise.
I understand like, you do need it. But here's my, do you really think, now, suppose that AEW never did. Were they ever going to ever say or thought about doing it at all?
I don't know. I mean, I get why. I mean, you need the crowd noise, so I get it. But, you know, AEW was the first one to do it. Yes, it looks like WWE's copying it, which technically they are. But, I mean, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, it makes
yeah.
sense.
It took long enough. Didn't AEW do it from the beginning?
Yeah, they did it like the second
yeah,
week.
Yeah, basically,
like
yeah.
Third week.
Yeah.
Third week. But here, it, but this is my problem. It's like AEW did it like the first show since the pandemic happened. It took them nearly almost to the end.
2 months?
Everything's starting to open up. Months. Just to only say, okay, we're going to give someone a crowd reaction like so people can say, oh. That's what I'm saying. It's not like they said, okay, both companies started doing it at the same time. This is 2 months later, and you stop following your site to have your workers come and do something.
Yeah.
This is where I
took
this is
long
the problem I see. It's not like saying that they just did it all at once. No, this is 2 months later, and you finally want to start doing this.
I agree with that.
Right, I can agree with that.
Yeah, me too.
You have anything?
Does anybody have any other news from the week that they want to get into?
No, we covered Jeff. We covered if you want to talk about Mike Tyson. Oh, we already talked about Mike Tyson. What do you guys
yeah.
think?
About the whole Mike Tyson, how it's almost like a do-over for the Attitude Era, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you think this is going?
I mean, we could end up seeing Jericho versus Tyson. I don't know.
It'd be funny if it happened.
I mean, they are building from what happened 10 years ago. At least they're doing that. I mean, they're building off that.
Okay. So, I look at it like this. This can end in two good ways. It might end in a good way. It might end in a WCW way. This is what I don't like, how when companies try to bring in and recreate old feuds from other storylines before. This thing happened with Jericho over 10 years ago in WWE. You've written your written down both in AEW. Why do something?
Rating?
Right.
Well, it's not even rating. This is like, I don't want to see another Hogan Warrior type of thing again. No, I don't want this.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody have anything else as far as news goes?
No, we talked about everything that we should talk about. I can't think of anything else.
All right, so do we want to do anything else, or do we want to wrap up here?
Yeah, you seem to want to wrap up, so we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, we were gonna do something else, but I'm kind of tired, so. Huh?
Okay. What were you going to do? Can we save it for next week?
Yeah, we'll if we have enough time next week, we'll get into the fantasy tournament then.
Okay. Sounds good.
Right now, you know, we'll wrap up and we'll see everybody Friday night. Clinton, are you joining us Friday night?
Yeah, I'll be here Friday night.
Beautiful.
Should be a fun show. I have to check.
Right.
I'm going to check the polls now, so I'll see which winning.
Yeah, keep
Unless
us updated on the polls, Eric.
Yep, I will. I'm going to post that on Twitter probably tonight.
All right, awesome. All right,
later.
Home,
all right, guys. All right, we'll see everyone next week. This is This Week in Wrestling.
All right.
Adios.
Wait. Later, guys.
Bye, Clan of Fly Dog. Bye, Daniel.
See ya.
See ya.
Be safe.